Stir up your power, Lord Jesus, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. So I love Advent for a number of reasons. I like blue. And so that makes Advent really special because I get to wear this beautiful blue stole and our church is dressed in blue as well. And you have blue. The thing that I really like about Advent, though, is that it's this time of moving ahead, looking back at the birth of Jesus. You know, like Chloe's having a birthday party today. And we're remembering that 5 years ago, she got born, and we're remembering that when we celebrate birthdays. Well, Christmas is a remembering. It's like a birthday party for Jesus. But we don't just remember that. We remember the promises that Jesus made all during his life. He made promises that he would come again to save the whole world, that Jesus would come again. And that's the song that we sang. Lord, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We're asking Jesus to come. We're not just remembering about the back. We're looking forward to the future as well. And I have something for you to help you to remember, to look ahead as well as looking back. This is called an Advent calendar. What's the picture on that, Lily? You can have it. Mary having her baby. What else do you see? Sheep? Shepherd? Did you see a shepherd on there? I see a cow. I see a cow. I see a star. I see a manger. I see a baby's cradle.
I have one question. Why are the days all split up?
The days are all split up so that you can open one little box every day. Starting on December 1st, open up, it's a number. And then inside will tell you a Bible verse. So then you look at that Bible verse and then you get the whole story of what's happening. So can you find number one? Point your finger. Don't open it yet. Because today is not December 1, and if you start opening them now, which is actually the first day of Advent, but these calendars are made for December rather than for just for Advent. So open up one calendar, one little number, on the first day of December, and then at the very end, you'll have them all opened up, and you will know the whole story that's there. So today, you're going off to Sunday school, and I think you're going to practice for your program as well as have a Sunday school lesson. So off you go. Oh, there isn't Sunday school today. All right. Go ahead.
First reading is from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to the disciples, about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man.
For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
But really, more than the sound, Isaiah wants us to not only hear, but to see. Chapter 2 that we just heard begins like this. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Not just hearing, but seeing. What does it mean to see a word? In chapter 1 in Isaiah, he graphically laid out all that he was seeing. Violence, bribery, unfaithfulness, desolation, trampling on the poor. He could have been looking at our world today. And then God calls for repentance and offers some glimpses of hope. But most of that first chapter of Isaiah is filled with images of violence and denigration and unfaithfulness. Then chapter 2 begins, as though God is starting out all over again with new images, new dreams of peace. When what Isaiah sees, the word that Isaiah sees, is not taking place right now, but he says, in the days to come, people of every nation, all people, will stream to Mount Zion, including those who were enemies, who were the enemies of Israel and Judah. And God's instruction will go out from Jerusalem, and God will judge. God is the judge, and God will judge between the nations. And the people will be, Isaiah says, transformed by this word, by this teaching. So can you hear it? The sounds of Christmas? The sounds of Advent? Can you see it? The image of Christmas that Isaiah paints. It's not a tree with balls on it. It's not reindeers and Santa Claus. It's a hammer beating against an anvil. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Can you even believe that? Those words from the second chapter of Isaiah are carved into a wall across the street from the United Nations building in New York. But thinking of the conflicts that and wars that flare up and threaten to flare all over the world, in Syria and in Turkey and Afghanistan and Pakistan, in Somalia and Central America, in Standing Rock and in cities in our own nation, these words seem unbelievable. We hear them today with such heavy hearts as we consider the conflicts and the violence, even in our relations, in our own relationships with one another, in our families, in our schools, and all around. Imagine how the people of Israel saw that word of the Lord. They have for centuries lived in a constant threat, destruction, and exile. More than 500 years before Jesus' birth, they listened to this word from Isaiah, this vision, this dream, this vision for the future, and then they turned and looked at their beautiful, once beautiful city, now burned, battered by empires that seemed unstoppable. And yet, in the midst of that, they had hope. They took hope in these words from Isaiah about a beautiful and grace-filled future that they could see and hear, even in those difficult and unsettled days. We hear these words of Isaiah not only in a time that is mired in conflict and contention, in anxiety and war, but at this new season, as we begin a new church year, Advent, a time of waiting, a time of seeing and hearing the sounds of Christmas. In Advent, the beginning of this new church year, we remember who is really in charge of everything. And we set our hearts on being a part of that one's plans. But pay attention here. While God is the one who will bring this dream to reality, there's work for us to do too. We are called to reshape the tools, the instruments of war, of violence, of destruction, and to transform those into instruments of peace, into farming tools that will provide for everyone. Just the sound of this Salvation Army bell ringer, you know, that when you hear that sound, we're kind of called to pull out the change in our pocket from the grocery store. We're called to give something. The sound of the anvil, the hammer against the anvil, is a call to us to participate in bringing that reality, that beautiful dream of God's, into reality. Isaiah calls us to loosen our grip on our swords, to loosen our grip on those instruments of war, and to take up the things of peace. And the last line that Gail read so beautifully, to walk in the light of the Lord. That's what we are called to do during this Advent, to let go of those instruments of war and to pick up the instruments of peace and to walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah actually promises a time when God's ways will fully shape how all of us live, every single person, all nations, many peoples, streaming toward the bright light of peace where there is enough. Enough for everyone, for all. It may not look like it right now, but Advent invites us to hear that word, to see that word. And God invites us not just to see it and to hear it, but to imagine it and to dream it and also to make it happen. Yesterday morning, as I drove from home over to church, I was listening to the radio, to the news report, and they were talking about the thousands of homeless people in San Diego. And they were saying about Father Joe's Village puts up extra cots and the Interfaith Shelter Workshop, or Interfaith Shelter Network provides housing for hundreds of homeless people. And then other churches and shelters, but still there are lots of people left. There's almost 10,000 homeless people in San Diego County. And those people are sleeping on the streets. And this news article was about how, in interviewing a couple people and about how they keep warm and what provisions they make for these coming months. St. Peter's is going to be more involved in that interfaith shelter network this coming year. You'll hear more about that as we get into December. And we're not going to be able to house people this year, as the schedule had already been made out before they make it out years before. But we're going to be partnering with Christ Lutheran and helping to provide some of the other services for their interfaith shelter for the 2 weeks that they are involved in that. So you'll be hearing more about that and more about opportunities for you to get involved. So tune your ear to that sound of Christmas. Well, then, as I was listening to that story, the reporter says, up next, what to do with the leftover food from Thanksgiving. And I thought, oh, okay. I was looking forward to hearing some heartwarming story about restaurants and grocery stores donating to food pantries and soup kitchens. Instead, I got a recipe for turkey tacos and turkey pot pie. And I did not hear the sound of a hammer against an anvil. Isaiah dreamed of peace, and he lifted up that sound and those images for us. Can we make our Advent ring with a hammer against an anvil sound? Can we be peacemaking people of generosity? On your way out of church today, can you stop and buy a cow, a pig, some honeybees, not to take home, but to donate for the rest of the world so that all people can be fed and sheltered? We can't do this on our own, but God makes it possible. Grace makes it possible. Grace can accomplish so much more than we can imagine because it is God who is the power at work within us, who is able to accomplish abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine. Advent is a time for us to look forward as much as backward in time for inspiration and hope. Consider what we truly long for in life and the price you are willing to pay for it. Sometimes we beat our pruning hooks into spears and our plowshares into swords because we try to protect what we think belongs to us, what we need to claim for our own. I was shocked last week when I heard the news from Standing Rock, where the nighttime raids on that protester's village included spraying the people with water when it was 20 below zero, or when it was 20 degrees. 150 people were taken to the hospital with hypothermia. This is in our own country. Where are the sounds of the hammer against the anvil in North Dakota? How can we as people rise up above our differences and hear this Advent call to peace given by a God who loves each one of us? There is so much more that binds us together than keeps us apart. We love and care for our children, for the earth, for the future. We all belong to the same God, and we must find our common ground in peace, not in war, in feeding the hungry and sheltering the homeless, in caring for the earth, in loving one another. Isaiah wasn't some naive prophet. He was not looking through rose-colored glasses. The visions of the weapons of war turned into farming tools, images of death dealing turned into food producing, is a vision and a promise in which we can participate. Do you hear those sounds of Advent? The sounds of Christmas? Are you making those sounds with your life? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Amen.